Welcome to Facehammer. This show may contain naughty language and explicit content. You have been warned. Okay, so welcome to the third bonus mini inverted commas. This one should actually be short.
It's mini for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's comparative.
It's all relative.
Yeah, standard show's 5 hours, mini show's 2.5. It's fine.
Don't hold us to that.
So in this one, we're going to be covering the list that Terry and I are going to be taking, or are intending on taking, which may come up, to the A Gathering of Might tournament, which is at the 21st and 22nd of this month, February. And it's a 1500 points broadly non-comp tournament. I say that as in it's out of the book Warhammer until you get to End Time Special Characters. You do get 50% Lords and Heroes, but none of the stupidity from Kane is allowed.
But you wouldn't be able to take them anyway.
You can't take, no. Like, so
you can't take those stupidly bent Putrid Blight Kings. Or,
no, you can't.
See, this is the thing. Like, there was a ticket going. I was like, I'd love to go, take my Legion, which isn't stupid. And I just can't. Stupid. Why not?
So, Russ is being a negative Nancy. Yeah, it's broadly speaking uncomp. So there's scenarios, 6 games, 1500 point armies. You are allowed 50% Lords and Heroes, which I think is a bit of a mistake, but, I always enjoy this tournament and I'm looking forward to it. And you've been to one before, Terry, is it?
I've only been to one, yeah, I went to the last one.
Which you did rather well at.
I won the last one, yeah.
There we go. So, what do you think has, firstly, what reasons have you got for changing your list, like painting or other stuff like that? And then what reasons meta-wise? Or do you just want to take the list you're taking?
I'm going to take a very similar list. I've refined it slightly, but it's still pretty much the same list I took last time. I mean, last time over the weekend, in just mentioned now, it's a 6-game event. I got 3 crushing wins in all 6 games. In one game, I lost about 200 points, and that was the biggest thing I lost over the whole weekend. I think combined, I probably lost about 500 points across the whole weekend, and I tabled every opponent except the last one because I broke him. It was Blood and Glory. I broke him on turn 3, so effectively it was going to get tabled. But yeah, the list is solid. But it might be different with 50% Lords because it might not be able to deal with double Demon Princes and double Chaos Disc Lords or triple Peg, you know, Dark Elf Lords. It'd be interesting to see what people come up with.
So the reason...
So you're taking Kairos, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
No,
sure.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm done with him now. He's old news.
So part of the reason you did well last time was you were strong against Elves with that list. Is that right?
Yeah, I played High Elves, Wood Elves, Wood Elves, Wood Elves, Skaven, and Dwarves. So there was a lot of low toughness Elves to kill with Beasts and Drones, so I had a solid list for the event. I had loads of magic as well. The Horror Core is brilliant at clearing out those Glade Guard units.
And they also explode and kill things. People forget that, don't they?
Yeah, but they didn't really get into combat because they just sat at the back board edge and just shot everything off.
Sure. I think that's the strength for the demons at 1500, though. I mean, you can get like such a good magic phase for your core tax. So,
yeah.
You know, you're basically one of the things other people have got to put in their list that takes out of their army. You just kind of get it for free, in a way.
Yes.
And they're not bad core units either.
No, I think also there's room to take a solid list and then a left field choice or two, depending on what you're doing, and at different points values, those units are entirely different. So I took Demons to the last Aegon and the Aegon before that, and I took exactly the same list for the second one, basically because I couldn't be bothered to think up a new one, and I enjoyed it quite a lot. And the two Aegons ago, I came fourth, and part of the reason I came fourth was because I was running Fiends, which are constantly underrated. And at 1,500 points, what they do, they're just as underrated, but their upside is higher because units are smaller. In this event, there seems to be quite a lot of Initiative 2 running around. It's either an Elf or it's Initiative 2, I found. So there's a decent amount of Ogres, of Orcs, Demons with Beast and Nurgle and stuff like that, and Luring Stuff's initiative meant that I would be going first. And also against Elves, if you can get the charge off against a little unit of Dragon Princes or Chaff or something like that and they fail a fear test, they can be awesome. So you're going hardcore magic and combat with yours, but you've got one left field choice, I'd say, in your list.
What, the five drones?
So why don't you go through your list? Cool. Like, go through your actual list from the top down.
Yeah, I'll go.
And
start
talk
mine
about
then.
Why you took it and stuff like that, just because, you know, it's easy. We kind of started talking about last year and stuff, so it might be...
Sure. Yeah.
You've changed what you have. You said you made some small changes.
I've made, very small changes, as in, I dropped the Blue Scribes from last year. Although they were brilliant, they were the only thing that kind of died over the weekend. The two games I played against cannons, the Skaven and the Dwarfs, they just shot them out with a cannon. Which is not a big deal, but when it's, I think it was 100 points for a win, more points for a win, double points for a crushing win, it was just kind of easy points to give up, and they didn't do a huge deal, I think, over the weekend, so I've traded one out and dropped in a Herald instead, beefed them up so then I can get more chances of getting Gateway. So my newest list, I've got a Herald of Tzeentch, level 2 on Tzeentch, a Herald of Tzeentch, level 2 on Metal, the core is 3 units of Horrors, 2 with Banners, a single Beast, 4 Beasts in one unit, 5 Fleshhounds with Ambush, and then 5 Plague Drones with Poison, Banner, and the Gleaning Pennant. There's not a lot of things at 1500 points that can really fight the 5 Plague Drones I found last time. They just pointed at a unit and removed it from the board. It's a lot of wounds, high toughness. They're just such a pain in the ass to get rid of.
So you talk about the Fleshhounds at this points value as well. What changes at this points value in comparison to others, would you say, if anything?
The Fleshhounds aren't a very expensive unit at 165 points of Ambush. They're great at killing small units. They get bogged down easily on big units. But because there's probably not going to be any big units there, they're going to be able to just get on the board edge and go into small units and start clearing up points quite fast. And with them having a 2-up save against magic, they're not really easy to get rid of all the cheap little magic missiles that people tend to run at 1500, like the Ruby Ring or, Doombolt, Soul Quench, just the little multiple hit strength 4 or 5 missiles. They're just quite resilient.
I'm surprised you don't see more at higher point games because, in some games, they're just so good. Because you've been against anyone with war machines on the back or a defensive sort of armor.
Incredible against Skaven.
And they're just fantastic. And they're like, they come on and you go, you've got a turn to deal with that. You can't magic missile them. If you're going to shoot them, some armies can't move and shoot their weapons. And if you do, you're going to take modifiers anyway.
Yeah.
So just really solid.
Don't see them getting a lot of play.
They're great combat against anything that is sort of average troops. They're still really good.
Yeah.
It's strange you don't see eights.
Yeah.
Because that will weather a bit of shooting, still get in with enough, or it gets in with on the charge. That's scary.
Yeah. Did you consider taking Karnak as well? He's pretty good.
I did, but then you look at his points, and he's 250 roughly.
Sure. So you could take a whole unit.
Well, spread a few more points out, and you could get 2 more units of 5 for him. And there's no guarantee he's going to turn up either. You know, so you've paid a lot of points for a model that might not actually come on the board.
I think he's best, though, if he's running like a unit of bloodletters, though, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's got ambush, though, hasn't he? So he has to start off the board.
Does he?
It's not optional, is it? When you have ambush, you have to ambush. Because, yeah, in a unit of bloodletters, he's amazing. Because he gives the unit MR3 and...
Gives him hatred.
Hatred.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think a lot of people forget as well that the two units or unit of fleshhounds are great against like the Empire Light Council and things like that.
Yeah.
Because they come on behind, they can't turn around and magic you because they don't do anything. You charge them and lock them in place, and then they lose their whole magic phase. Basically, they can start buffing, but then you're not taking, you know, strength 6/7 banishments because that unit's locked. I mean the amount of games I've killed Light Councils with the five dogs. They go in the rear because they don't turn round. You treason them. You know, you get a good win despite them being stubborn. Fail the fear test. You know, treason. What's a halberdier? Leadership 7. You know, a 7 break test. You really want to be taking that with your Light Council in a block. You know, or you scatter them out, start spreading them across units. They just control the board really well. And again, people
they
spread their back
seven,
line out.
They would be 10 of a reroll.
Well, they wouldn't, because you treat. That's what I mean. You treason them down. Yeah. Which is what I've always done, that combo. But yeah, if you have the dogs, it just is an instant threat because they have to stop you coming on behind them. So
yeah,
they,
and I think it's
they
not
spread
hard
out.
To find the points from either, is it?
No, 165 points, 10
did
wins.
Did you run them in your last list when you went to Aegon?
Yeah.
Yeah, they were good then?
Yeah. Jay Hopkinson's Wood Elf Army, he hates them so much.
Sure. Yeah, I'd see that. I hate Wood Elves, so that's good. Yeah. You know?
They come on behind them, then they have the choice of shooting all the Nurgle stuff running towards them, or just taking a rear charge from them. It gives them that choice that they don't want to make.
Because you're so finish off going down the list then, mate, before I talk about a bit more, but
that was it, the five drones were the last thing in the list.
So with the drones, do you not, I mean, I'm a big fan of 2/3s. I don't ever really like the 5, I don't rate it. So why, you tend to be quite a big advocate of the big unit, don't you? So can you just talk about your reasons behind that?
I'm a fan of the big
unit
because two threes is great, but they take one little magic missile or one round of light shooting, and then all of a sudden it's one and a half, maybe two drones left, and they just lose their combat effectiveness so quickly. I know having them in one unit, all five of them, means they concentrate on that one unit. But if they're concentrating everything on killing those five drones, they're ignoring the 6 beasts of Nurgle running towards them as well, which are probably harder to kill anyway. But they just hold their points more. I've always found the fives to be brilliant. I mean, I'm going to start running 5 and 4 and fill up the rare with 600 points of drones because I think two big units are going to be pretty amazing. I mean, the five's great. An additional 4. Is, you know, because I'm not taking skull cannons.
Champions in them, and so. Then you're not missing cannons as much. I think that's a really, really scary pair of units to see across the board from you.
Yeah, I think in running two big units is scary, but I just think if you're going to run one of like 4 or 5, I just think 2/3s is infinitely better because of the board space you can control.
Yeah, I mean, what are they? 55 plus poisons, they're 60 each, so they'd be 180 for 3, put a banner on them, 190. So what's that? 2 units of that would be 3.
Well, banner position, 200 for...
But here's the problem, your rare slot is only 375.
Okay, sure.
So drop poison.
You then drop poison and weaken
one
of the units.
Yeah, sure, yeah, makes sense.
So that's why I went with the 5 as well, because
cram
all
in. In 2/4 though, you tend to lean towards 1/5 anyway, don't you?
Yeah. Just the arc it controls, that one big frontage, is massive, and it's so hard to get out of that charge.
What's that? That's 27 or something centimetres wide. It's huge, isn't it?
It's a huge unit. But it's not too big because you can still maneuver it around.
I don't know. I think to get to a point, it's just so easy to stop it being a charge.
With Terry's army isn't massive with because you got 3 units. You got the beast that can fit anywhere, and then one block of beast. Yeah. So really, you're maneuvering the two Nurgle combat blocks, and then everything else can work around that, I guess. Kind of like War Machines.
I've never really had been in the position where it's hard to get the five drones in anywhere.
I've just found when I've played against people with it, it's very easy for me to either neutralize them being able to charge with terrain or other units because they can't fit, or you know, they can't cover the angles, because although they're wide, you know, doing a slight angle is a massive difference on the unit. It's hard to explain, but I find them quite unwieldy when you've got a big unit like that. I don't know. I see the merit in it when you can't run two threes. Definitely see the merit in it. But you got a skull cannon?
Nope.
No.
Oh, okay. I thought you're not going with a skull cannon then.
No, I didn't take one last time, and it was quite interesting seeing there was a lot of demon armies there that were running one and two skull cannons.
Sure. I don't rate them.
At 1500, there's not a lot to really do other than push them around in a chariot.
Do you not think with the 50% lords, though, that changes the, in the meta, that changes the viability of them, because you're going to see more big characters, and then you're going to need to deal with some things.
But
with
then
it.
They're going to be rocking Dragonbane gems and
Dragonbane.
I was going to
say, how many of them are from armies where they are going to be wearing that? Because the ones you're worried about are probably from the Warriors book.
Sure.
I guess it's worth saying that this event, what armies is there a heavy presence of, Terry? Or what did you notice last time? Generally speaking, there's elves and warriors last time.
Elves everywhere.
Yeah. Maybe that's died down a little bit because people aren't spaffing all over the Wood Elf book and Wild Riders so much.
I think there's going to be a lot of elves there.
Is this, it's quite a strange crowd, isn't it? Because, I mean, I've never been to Aegon, but I don't mean strangers and, you know, we're a war gamers at the end of the day. But what I mean is that they do this thing where it's kind of one of these events where it's got like a cult following.
Yeah.
The event is very exclusive.
As in, but it
sells out. And then it's almost impossible to get in. The last few times, it went on sale and sold out that day, and then you couldn't get in. The 60 that got in were the 60 that are in. Because they sell the tickets at the event to those it's really hard to get into the event.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's inaccessible though, if someone wants to get in. I mean, there's a ticket, still a ticket going now, I think, but as we record this, obviously by the time
there's a lot of repeat, you're getting it. There's a lot of people who go to this event and maybe don't go to many others, but
yeah, that's
they go
what I mean.
They've got Aegons each year.
Because I remember a lot of the guys who run the event or are at the event, they were always at the GTs, you know, and Adam Turner's a top bloke, you know, I think they run a really good event. I mean, I've never
really
been myself.
Run.
I've always wanted to go. But the problem I've got at the moment is, like I said, if I'm going to go to that, I'd really like to take my legions just because it's like my best painted army, and I kind of want to go for that reason rather than the gaming. And I understand why it's not allowed.
I
want
to win best
painted. Not
allowed to do that.
Yeah, I understand why they've said no legions and stuff, but I kind of a little bit disappointed. I look at my other armies, I think, well, I don't really want to play with the others, and I could write a really strong list and go up and, you know, maybe wreck some face, but I'm not, you know, it's not really appealing to me. I mean, it'd be more about going up and see you, to be honest, and hanging out and stuff, but it's just the money more than anything.
In the miserable north.
Yeah, exactly. I'm still not quite fully recovered from the last time I was at the Northwest Gaming Center. We won't go into that. Have you decided on what you're taking, Byron?
I'm in a weird situation whereby the army I want to take is exactly the army that I took to the last one, and I'll go through it because I know it off by heart. It's two level twos on metal, therefore trans in a lot of situations, because you get quite a few people have one big block and then a couple of other things, which until recently you didn't see at larger tournaments. That seems to be fucking everywhere now, though. At Aegon, it was notable. You'd see a block of savages, a block of warriors, and crap. Block of ogres, and trans was really nice for that, and also enchanted blades works very well with the army that I took for the Nurgle stuff, and Plague of Rust is fantastic as well, because there's...
Yeah, demons don't like armor, do they? So
no, they don't, and it's what I know. Like, I don't feel... There's no spell selection I feel more comfortable with than the Lore of Metal, just because the amount of times I played it. It was an integral part of what I was doing with my demons when I was running them a lot. So, two level twos on metal, three units of horrors, 3 units of 2 beasts, which are amazing. Generally speaking, I'd run one as a little conga dart, and then 2 wide. And the one as the conga dart would go centrally, and the wider ones would go on the flanks. And as a result, the army had, it had 6 drops that I just didn't care about and always did essentially the same thing. So I didn't have to think for a lot of the deployment phase, which was nice. Then to round it out, I had 2 threes of play drones, one of which wasn't poisoned, both had banners, and, one unit of 3 fiends, which were just skits. They were absolutely amazing. In that matchup, 3 of them, they'd either run at my, like, there's quite a lot of dwarves and orcs and goblins, and running something really, really fast to someone, potentially around the range of fanatics or whatever, to be either in their war machines or in their face, turn their turn one, if I'd gone first, was really, really powerful. And they'd do things like charge a unit of dragon princes, because of the amount of scenarios that there are, you start closer to your opponent more often than you would in a battle line.
So that's interesting. So what scenarios did they play then?
There are 10, I believe, in the rule book, in the main big rule book, the big hardback edition.
Oh, really? So they're playing not just the standard light 6 then?
They're
branching out.
Battle line, dawn attack, battle for the pass, blood and glory, meat engagement.
Which I think a lot of people know those, don't they? Because they're the standard 6.
That's your first 6. That's your basic ones. Except blood forest is being changed for watchtower.
Which I like.
And then the next 4.
Why blood forest though?
Because it moves, I guess.
Yeah, but that's rubbish.
It damages you if you're in it.
Yeah, but
it makes it interesting.
It's just Wildwood there, I think.
Next 4, River of Death, Surprise Encounter, the Dark Monoliths of Zul'Gazar, and Loot and Pillage. So those last 4 are only in the big rule book. They're not in the little sort of softback one that most people have at the tournament.
Yeah, because I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you the rules of those. I mean, wow. Crazy.
Okay, so to go through them fairly quickly, the river one, whoever is in the wizard is in the wizard, is in the river.
Don't be in the wizard. He doesn't like it up him.
I was playing Slaanesh, all right?
Yeah. Maybe so, he doesn't.
Whoever was in the river was... You automatically cast a Lore of Light spell if it was a...
That's just a river of light.
Upon yourself, yeah. So you'd either... If you're demons, it was really weird because you give yourself massively high initiative and weapon skill, or you just destroy your own unit.
It's weapon banishment.
Yeah. Then there's the Dark Monolith, where wizards, or is it wizards? It's a big old hill in the middle of the game with a shrine on it or something, and it buffed close units. Do you know this one, Terry?
Is this the one that shoots out random things as well?
No, I think it gave a ward save to, it gave +2 wards to wizards that were on the hill. It's really good for horrors for that reason.
I don't think I played that one.
But is it just still victory points, or is it like capture those pieces of terrain, or are they
It's still victory points, but they do make quite a big difference. I mean, like I've mentioned, wizards getting plus ward saves. In that scenario, I YOLO up the horrors because they're harder than the rest of my army. If you get +1 ward save on the Reign of Chaos, then you've got 2 up ward save, rerolling ones, which means your horrors are mental.
Your horrors are indestructible.
Yeah, they're better than a Chaos Mount. So the scenarios affect things a lot, and because so many of them are scenarios which play with deployment, your army is often starting closer to your opponent, and having a unit with movement 10 swift stride is really, really nice for that. So I love that army. I really enjoy playing it. It's got a lot of options, but I'm probably not going to take it because mostly I need practice for Firestorm 4s. I'm taking a list which is quite different with my High Elves from one that I've run previously. So despite the fact that it means that I've got quite a lot to paint for the event, this is roughly the list that I'm thinking of taking. So what I tried to do was pretty much entirely take my Firestorm 4s list, take all the key aspects of it that I needed practice with, pop them in the list, and then get it to be as close to a version of the 2,200 point list that I could. It's not that close because it's only got 1 Frostheart Phoenix instead of 3, but I should hopefully learn a fair bit with it. Most importantly, right at the top of the list, I'm running a Lore Master with the Book of Hoeth. So he's got Book of Hoeth and Talisman of Preservation. He needs to stay alive. He's my only wizard. That's that. Quite interesting. Playing with this guy should be pretty good fun. And I've got a BSB, which is Sacrilege in my book.
Playing else, you've got to run it, dude.
I know, so fucking boring. He's a Sea Helm in this list, probably. My Firestorm 4's list, he isn't a Sea Helm because of squeezing in birds, essentially.
When you say birds, you mean big frosty phoenixes.
I mean big frosty phoenixes, yep. I'm really interested to play with this guy. There's going to be buildings, and I'd like to learn how to use one. Core is fairly standard. Again, I've not got many options here. It has to involve archers times two or reavers times two, because that's all I've got painted. Fortitude is a thing, so everything has a standard. I've got 18 archers, full command, 5 reavers, full command, sorry, no command apart from the standard, and 5 reavers, just the standard again. They don't have bows, again, because points are tight. Then my special, I have 18 white lions with Banner of the World Dragon. That's the unit that I need the most practice with, arguably, for Firestorm. And that's actually the same size that I'm running it for Firestorm. So it should be a good... I'm not going to be facing exactly the same type of things that I would be facing at 2,200 points, but...
Yeah, still practice, isn't it? You still get to see against people... Although you say that, people tend to run similar units they run in the big game. They just cut units out rather than change the size and so on and so forth.
Yeah, so. I think having seen a few lists, I'd imagine a lot of people, if they had this list, would drop some of the other stuff and just take the normal 27, 28 or whatever. Then I have an Eagle or Bolt Thrower, which is my Tree Man model, and one Frosty on his own. So I need practice with the High Elves, and the second reason I'm taking this list is because I've killed myself painting it, so I'm going to fucking well use it. I'm hoping to get a good chance of a best painted. And for that
vote
reason...
Vote now, people.
For that reason, less Frosties is possibly good. That's going to sound really gamey, but having a more balanced looking army, I think will, like, if you rock up with two skull cannons and your demon army's painted beautifully, people are still going to think, two skull cannons. To some degree, I had to get that Bolt Thrower in because the model looks really nice, despite the fact that one is, broadly speaking, just useless. So he had to go in, and that changed quite a bit from the rest of the list. The rest of the list could have been much better, actually, but that Tree Man model has to be in there. So he's in there. And I think it should still be fun to play with, not as fun as my demons, not because my demons are better, just because my demons have more variety. The thing I am really looking forward to, though, is the Lore Master. Like, I am properly excited about having that selection of spells.
Do you know what's going to happen to that Lore Master?
He'll die first.
Yeah, he's going to pop himself down
the
hole.
Little spell, go, I shall blizzard that, double six down the hole. First spell of the tournament, guarantee it.
Yeah, I remember the first time I put Blow Brot spawned out, and he cascaded on the first turn. It's pretty disappointing, to be fair.
It's like that's what happened with me at the mall the one you won with your Nurgle list. My first game out with the Keeper of Secrets again after resting him for like 6 months. Turn one, I was like, I'll just do a little two dice acquiescence on that over there, cascade down the hole. Like, brilliant. First spell of the tournament on two dice, I go down the hole, and then that was it. I was just sad from that point onwards in the first game.
I think empirically, on evidence, two dice is more likely to blow you up than four or five, in my experience.
Oh yeah, I six dice stuff all the time and get away with it. Just do a little cheeky two dice down the hole.
Yeah, you're normally the one you start the phase on.
It's more because you don't expect it to happen, so when it happens, it just sticks in your brain. It's a bit
possibly,
like,
yeah.
You know, you see the symbols more just because it's a symbol.
Yeah, just, for sure.
I don't know, club dice are bent, aren't they?
They are bent. I hate club dice so much.
I like them.
That's for another day.
So that's my list. It's different. I've not run White Lions, and I've not run a Lore Master, and I've not run a BSB. So broadly speaking, it is about half that list is changed from the stuff that I'd normally run.
But all good choices.
Yeah, definitely. It's I think it's tipped in the scales of power possibly a bit too much for this event.
Do people tend to take softer lists here then?
There are some very soft lists there that go, I think, more for painting. But yeah, there are some pretty nails lists that go to the event as well.
Yeah, there's some people who take absolute disgusting stuff. It's a pretty good vent for drinking. And a lot of the people take YOLO armies where you push it forwards, you smash your opponent, someone wins or loses. There's a lot of combat and it doesn't take too long and you have quite a lot of drinks and have a good chat. And it's a fantastic environment for that. I really, really like it for that reason.
Last year there was a stag
do. There was. Rich Preston,
that's it. And every time he had like a special score sheet that he carried around with him to every game that was given to his opponent at the start of the game. Every time he failed a fear test, lost a unit, what was the other one? A unit panicked, miscast, cascade. Any of those happened, he had to take a shot. I played him in the second game, and he had a full bottle of it was Corky's apple sours type stuff.
Right.
He lined up the shot glasses, and in one turn, I managed to make him fail two fear tests. He lost two combats. He panicked two units. He then followed his turn by cascading, failing to rally with both those fleeing units, panicking another unit. So by the second turn, he'd taken about 12 shots, and he was just, the game was pretty much over at that point anyway. And he was just so messy. It was a hilarious game.
It's a really good environment. I think that there's quite a few people who get fairly loud, but it's still a really relaxed environment.
Yeah.
There's teams as well, which you'll probably talk about. At the start of the day, you get everyone gets split into 8 different teams. And at the end of the event, there's an award for the highest finishing team. And one round, each round, you nominate a champion, and
that's like the old WPS club challenge.
Exactly, it's a good way to get you talking to people you might not do otherwise because you don't know them or whatever.
How do they allocate? Is it just random then?
Random,
yeah.
That's quite good. Random. Yeah, I quite like that because obviously it means you interact with people you probably won't speak to.
Yeah. We had a pretty solid team, didn't we, Byron?
Yeah, we did.
Because me and you got put on the same team with some other pretty cool people as well, and we had quite a good little team.
We did pretty well. One turn you pick a war, and everyone gets extra if they win that turn. It's a really, really good idea.
That is awesome, actually.
Yeah, because everyone sort of gets their matchups. You all go and talk. You're like, do you think you're going to do well in this game if you got this win? And then you nominate your champion. They get double points if they win.
But the turn we called the champion's hat.
I was wearing the hat against the Wood Elf player as well, so I got quadruple points in the round that we called the wear, which was pretty good. But we only managed to come second in the end, I think.
Yeah, second? It's really good. It definitely adds a different dynamic to the event.
Yeah, because you just meet people you wouldn't normally speak to.
Because it must be said, actually, talking about the event, that actually from a tournament point of view, doesn't Adam paint an army to give away?
He gives away a raffle army.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. And the prizes are pretty good, aren't they? I mean,
I was going to go through all those in a minute. Okay. I've got the pack in front of me. Again, we need to talk about the pack because the pack is absolutely nuts.
Yeah, so not only have they mailed it to you, it just arrives one day in a nice crisp turquoise envelope, and you open it up, and then you've got this beautifully presented rules pack.
Fully printed colour. It looks like a small army book quality.
It's like White Dwarf weekly, isn't it, basically?
But I'm going to take pictures of each page. I checked with Adam. He's quite happy for it all to go out. So I'm going to take pictures of each page and put it all up. Might scan them in or something, actually, so that you get full, proper, turn it into a PDF or something. But it's amazing. Yeah. Oh, I've just noticed at the bottom of every page, sponsored by Element Games.
Hmm, yeah, we should probably mention that, shouldn't we?
Yeah. So we'll be getting some sweet prizes.
We will. They do
fund my hobby.
They do a spot prize every round, and they're normally for things that you wouldn't be very happy about. So one round it'll be first person to blow up a war machine, first person to flee off the table, first person to double one a break test, first person to double one a charge and double six a charge. Yeah. I think, and you get a themed model for each of those. So if you blow up in the blowing up the war machine round, you might win an engineer or something like that.
Yeah.
And with the amount of quality plastic blister packs that GW got these days, that's pretty awesome to start off on your games like that.
Sweet Cromlech as well.
Yep. Yeah, it's got sponsorship as well this year.
One of the rounds was the person who gets the most VPs in the round. And I think Jordan Bladen got that with his Chaos Dwarves. I got the second most amount, and I got a cool little basing pack, which was like tree stumps and bits and pieces in it. But that was a pretty cool little extra. But yeah, should we just go? So we've gone through the pack then. So we've got it's so much detail in it. It's ridiculous. It's like the most well-presented tournament pack you'd ever see.
Oh, work on every page, all the scenarios listed, loads of useful stuff.
It's got like proper cool fonts as well. It's just everything's amazing in it. It's got references to everything. It's like got the scenario page, tells you what page each scenario is on for like the ones you wouldn't normally know about. How to deploy the terrain, how the tournament works, timetable in there. I mean, a lot of the stuff's standard, but a lot of the extra bits, just extra little things. I think last year, didn't they have something really cool with the beer mats? Weren't beer mats the table numbers?
Oh, yeah, they were. They've been doing it a lot, and you definitely get the impression that they are a well-oiled team, and they turn up and they smash it. I don't want to see
like those lot covered in oil. That's all kinds of wrong. Actually, I don't care how good the event is.
It's worth saying that for their reputation for boozing or whatever, they turn up, they work all the way through the day, they're stone cold sober until I think it's 8 o'clock when they stop doing admin and stuff, because they often put food on at the evening. And
I've seen Adam at some events, and I won't name and shame, but some of it's really special.
I've been out.
It's got to be the word to describe it. It's special. It's top guy. He's always smiling though. He's a really nice guy to chat to. He's a good painter as well.
Good player. Takes his
he is really good
with his MSU Ogres, rocking double giant and usually finishing like top 10, top 20 and confusing people infinitely.
He's been consistent as well, even when I was playing in 6th edition, I think, as well. He was around then and he's still doing well, picking up the odd prize, taking not cutting edge armies or slightly quirky lists, but doing really well really, really top guy. So obviously he knows the game, knows what he's doing, runs a good
He's got
event.
A very, very good manner as a TO as well. I think even a shy, slightly socially awkward person would feel absolutely fine approaching him with a query or something like that. He makes that clear from stage one. They've got a slide. They start off the event with a slideshow. Like, it's really, really well organized. Everyone knows where everything is, what's coming up. You can hear people. You can hear the announcements. There's a countdown timer. You're given clear indications of when things are about to end, any warnings and all of that. It's just very, very well run.
Yeah, no, it's quality. There's a bit in here in the sportsmanship section I just noticed. I didn't notice this last time. Maybe this is new. It says, if you think you've had an awful game, in quotes, please speak to one of our referees. Please only if you truly think it was, a really bad encounter. Any player receiving two or more awful games will receive a penalty. Two games, one tournament point. Three games, three tournament points. Four games, six tournament points. Five games, disqualification. Shouldn't the disqualification come a bit sooner than five games?
Most likely, yeah.
I'm sure it should. I'm sure if they got a couple of complaints about the same person, they'd pick
I think them. After the third game of being complained about for being an absolute bell end, you should probably get disqualified at that point.
You're just telegraphing your weekend now, Terry.
Hey, I'm a very sporting player, I'll have you know. But let's go into the awards. There are so many awards at this event. So you've got Best General, which is split down into Lord of Might, first place, Hero of Might, second place, Champion of Might, third place. Snotling Award is basically the wooden spoon. Best Army, so then you've got Golden Horde, first place, Silver Legion, second place, Terracotta Army, third place. Then you've got single best painted as well. So you've got Avatar of War, best single infantry or cavalry model, Ruination of the Cities, best single war machine, Terror of the Old World, best single model on a 40mm base or bigger, the Bugman's XXXXXX, which is the beer cart, which is used in one of the scenarios,
yep.
The Sacred Band, best regiment, so best unit, and then obviously you've got Best in Race for Everything, so they've all got cool names. I got Slave to Darkness last year, which was highest place demon, and they've all got like cool titles yeah. to go along with them.
Yeah, so does that say that on the trophy as well then?
Yeah. I think these were these printed glass certificates, I believe. No, they were small trophies. Yeah, no, these were all trophies, and these all had the names on the front. So yeah, you have like Chosen of Cain for Dark Elves and Harbinger of the Old Ones for Lizardmen. They're really cool. Then you have the Renown Award, which is they basically pick someone who they think's done something awesome over the weekend.
Yeah, it's very much akin to the old GW events where you had the drinking horn.
Well, they
have the drinking horn.
Yeah,
as well.
Drinking horn, and they used to run them at. They used to run the events at GWHQ before.
Yes, they did. Yeah, they were. I think they were Team Shenanigans and the Northwest Warriors combined yes. used to run, and the drinking horn thing was a kind of. I vaguely remember Tom Maudsley getting rather disgusting on several of the GWs I went to, and sort of see him the next day, and he's sort of bleary eyed and pale skinned after throwing up all through his first game on the second day.
And then the Sportsmanship Warrior of Honor, the person who receives the most, and then there's the Brotherhood Award for the team thing, which we talked about earlier. But there's so many, you know, there's two spot prizes. Per round, first and second, first person to break, second person to break it, or whichever it is. So that's 12 spot prizes, plus all those sweet trophies. And the first, second, third place trophies were awesome last year.
Yeah, some of them were,
when he put them up, I was like, I am taking that sword home with me. The first place was like a 4-foot replica, like Demon Slayer sword type thing. It's awesome.
And is it one of the Lord of the Rings replicas, or was it something else?
No, it was just like a generic branded thing. They weren't like replicas of any specific thing, but the handle on it is awesome. It's like really ornate demon sort of style.
Mm.
And it had Aegon and the winner and everything like engraved on the plaque and everything that went with it, so you can like put it up on the wall. Second place again was a big dagger, and then third place was a slightly smaller dagger, I believe. It was all three were weapons.
Mm. I think I know the weapons because I think there's other events have used those.
You won
because I've got an axe. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. The axe was second. The third was
it's like the a demon blade dagger thing, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
So, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, they, you know, they were cool. I think £25 voucher as well for first place.
Yeah, we give a fairly decent amount of prize support to this event. They run. It's exactly the type of event we like to sponsor. They've got a really good reputation. It's run tightly always. There's never complaints. And people go away having had a really good time. So we've been sponsoring them for 3 years, I think. Or three events, sorry.
Yeah, no. Top quality event. I loved the last one. I put Aegon in second place as my best tournament of last year, only because South Coast took the first place. Just you can't. I don't think a tournament can beat South Coast.
I don't know. I mean, I think like we. I don't think we put as much effort as that into.
You don't put the amount of effort in. I think it's just the volume of players, the compact, and just the cool weekend for me to Sony down the road, which sells it to me because I don't have to pay any silly accommodation prices or anything. I literally just drive half an hour from my house. It's like the best. That is the best tournament for me on that basis, but. Quality of event, I don't think you can beat Aegon.
Everything finishes on time. Everyone knows what's going on. Really nice people running it. Rules questions get answered really fast as well. They've all got coloured t-shirts on. You're never searching for someone for long. Just well run.
Yeah, and also the back page of the book that you get sent has all of your score sheet on it as well. So all your records of what your games are, who you play, and their army and everything, it all gets stored on the back of it.
Do you have to take that away with you?
Yeah, because I had mine in the car, didn't I, when I come pick you up for an event
one
time. And I said, yeah, I'll check this out, it's awesome. But yeah, no, you get to keep this as well, so you get a full record of everything that happened over the weekend. You got your pack in front of you, Byron?
No, mine is at the store.
Oh, do you remember what entry number you are?
I do not.
Oh. Yeah, because you have each person has an entry number as well, and then you use that for determining, like, you know, where you are at the start, because you draw out, was it a bit of card or something, wasn't it? It was like a bag
yes,
full of
you
numbers.
Actually, yeah.
So it's what they used to do at the GT. They just give you a table number as, like, alternate table numbers, but and then, yeah. Like, from top and bottom. But, yeah, it's very similar. There's a lot of stuff in there that used to run at the Games Workshop events. Some of the stuff you see in the Club Challenge, like the, when they did the painting, they did like single unit, single miniature, all that kind of stuff as well. But it's great to see all that. It's a lot of effort to do all that extra stuff.
I think it's appreciated by the friends as well.
The food's interesting as well. Does it say in the pack about the food? I believe
them putting
Saturday
the pizza
night
on
they
Saturday.
Do like a pizza feast. Saturday day and Sunday day they do Subway.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you get decent food both afternoons and in the evening on the Saturday. So that's quite nice. But yeah, just you can't really fault it. There's nothing.
Yeah, we've probably spoken about it enough. In essence, it's a really good event. We're glad we're going. Have you got any final thoughts on your list, Terry? How you think it's going to do? Have you got a prediction for where you're going to finish?
First place, obviously, and I've got to get the next sword. It's got to be. No, Adam sent me a letter in with my pack, and it said at the top, can you retain the title or something in the top of a question mark?
They drew cocks on mine.
Yeah.
It's just so they know what you want.
Yeah.
I'd like to do well. I don't want to go and just have a shit weekend. But if I play well and I get beaten, then, you know, it's what happens, isn't it?
Do you think...
I had that last time.
With your list, because you haven't really changed much for the 50% Lord, have you?
No, that's...
So, are you worried about that? I mean...
I'm looking at it going, I'm going to get Gateway. If they invest all their points into one big character, I'm just going to Gateway every turn until it goes.
So that's basically what you've done. You've taken the level 2 to try and get Gateway as your answer.
I've got your 3 units of horrors and the level 2. So if there is a big threat, it's just got Gateway. I'll take Final Trans, hopefully, as well. If it doesn't have a flaming save, then Searing Doom. You know, bang it with Plague Drones and Beast of Urgul, Combat Resort off. There's the army's got a lot of choice in it. Strong magic as well. But yeah, just hopefully if there is a big target that can be killed with a Gateway, then it pulls through and I whip out some, you know, some double six Gateways. And
because I think it's interesting that I know, like, you weren't a big fan of the 50%, but I think it really mixes up the 1500-point game, because I know, like, the thing is, I've played 1500 points before in the past, and it just becomes, different armies become stronger, but there's still that power creep. I mean, like, back in the old days.
Disgusting.
Yeah, and Skaven used to be ridiculous at 1500 in the old book.
The Skaven army I played, actually, at the last event was horrible. He had, like, a Grey Seer, a bunch of Warlocks, a Doomwheel, 2 cannons?
You could, yeah, I think you can. I was going to say, you probably get Doomwheel double cannon in for that.
It was pretty horrible.
People can take a lot of... So, with scenarios in mind, they can take a lot of ranked infantry that takes a... You're going to be chewing through it slower because you've got less units to get through it, and they're spending the same amount because it's still whatever it is, like 2 points for 80 dudes. And back up with a load of stuff, load of characters with different options. Mm. You can get some pretty decent armies in. It definitely mixes it up, although Dark Elves, everyone's bugbear, unless you're playing with them.
They're gonna be
really
very
disgusting.
Two units of Warlocks, 2 or 3 units of Dark Riders, a bunch of mounted characters. It's horrible.
Yeah, the year when I came fourth, the only game I lost was to Andy Catlow. I think he came second. With a very, very strong Dark Elf list. And it's just ridiculous. You look at it and it's the same army minus the bolt throwers.
Yeah. One opponent that worries me that weekend will be Mikey if he runs his Dark Elves, because it'll be a horrible game for me. it'd just be really difficult if he runs that sort of list.
Super mobile, yeah.
It's super quick. It's got decent magic again, because he can get it out of the rare choices. And then
that's
still
the thing about the armies that get these units, which are... And let's be honest, I mean, everyone knows Doomfire Warlocks are awesome, but they're good in combat. I mean, they get to reroll, yeah. They've got Seth Poison, they've got 2 strength, 4 attacks, they're fast cavalry, you know, they've got Fort Ward save. Awesome in combat, really cheap, but the best thing, you get channels and a magic face for free, basically.
Yeah.
They're even better at 1,500 points.
You get, yeah.
Like,
totally.
2 units of 5 is, yeah. What, 125 points each, aren't they?
You can run Raffi, yeah. Right? She's 370, isn't she?
Yep,
you could run Marathi.
Marathi, yeah.
2 units of Doomfires, 2 or 3 units of Dark Riders, maybe squeezing a Bolt Thrower.
Just run Pegmasters, as you hear.
Or just just choppy one up, say Pegmasters with Lancers.
Well, you don't even need them. I mean, you don't even need them to be on the pegs. I think to some degree, you're better off just popping them in the steeds and having potentially.
Cloak of Twilight's begging to be taken, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you could take a Master BSB on a Dark Steed, and you could take a Twilight Peg guy, double Doomfire, a couple Bolt Throwers, Dark Riders in your core, Marathi.
Mobile Fortitude. Disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, there were 2 lists last time that were horrible. Mikey had that sort of similar list, and Keith Wilkinson was running a Warriors,
I played against
Super Exalted BSB, a Demon Prince, and all the other
Camera. Yeah, I played against. So, last time round, I had really good games, but I just lost all of them on one dice roll. It seemed like really hard for games where it came round to one key combat turn 4, 5, or 6. And I lost on that, and somehow, game 4 I rocked up and I was facing Mark Muslick with that list that Keith had, because they both had exactly the same list.
Did Keith copy it?
Maybe.
He does that though.
Yeah, so I rocked up and it's like, okay then, so things have been going badly, what happens now? And I'm facing Mark with 2 demonic BSBs, a Chimera, 3 chariots, and it was just a Lord, I think, on a demonic mount as well. It was just absolutely disgusting. And if that's what they could fit in before 50% Lords, things have got even more disgusting now.
Yeah, but I think like those sort of lists, post, 50% Lord, there's going to be other lists out there.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is as well, I remember playing 1500 events where I was trying to rock my Tomb Kings, and that's before you could even take Lords in 1500, and it was just like, there's no point, just don't bother. You know, it's, when you had to buy a Tomb Prince and a Lich Priest. Oh. It's like, spent like 250 points on complete dross,
Yeah.
But yeah, going back to what you were saying, that's why demons are very strong, is you get a lot of good things that you have to take anyway that you'd want to take, but then you get stuff for free.
So, it's exaggerated by the scenarios, because you want those banners in there, so you want things to stand them on. It's not like chariots where you don't gain any fortitude, even if it's a good unit. Like, you have to spend some core points, you have to get some drops, you have to get some places to stand your characters. They do absolutely every job for 130 or 40 points.
I think though, like with the 50%, there's gonna be some bad matchups in there for the demons. I think it's a harder meta for them to play in after thinking about it. I still think they can compete, don't get me wrong. I mean, they're still really solid, they've still got the tools. But I think there's definitely more out there that they're gonna worry about.
Yeah.
Lots to be said for Beast of Nurgle in that environment. That was one of the reasons for me running two, was so I could challenge run them in a conga if I didn't, depending on what I was going against. If I was going against a Demon Prince, it didn't matter how they worked. So I just challenged and they had to accept. In other situations, run them in a little dart, challenge with the front guy, hopefully the second guy would be left. And that meant that I got a couple more turns out of it, or more chances at wounds, or whatever. And having the ability to challenge and lock something out for even if it's one turn longer, so it ends in your opponent's turn, rather than yours if it takes 3 combat rounds or something. It makes a big difference.
Yeah, I think when I went to Maul, we played that doubles 1500, didn't we? My 1500 point list was a great and clean one, played Bearer Block, and then it was 2 beasts, 2 beasts, 2 beasts, free drone. So it was pretty salty. Otherwise, it was pretty solid.
Yeah, that was a horrible little list.
So, but I think it does sound like a great event, and you've got, I mean, over your list then, Byron, I mean, you're taking some, you're not playing any games with it, have you, really? There's a lot, I know you've played with High Elves, but you've not used a list.
Not with
like
this. I played one game with my Firestorm list against Tom Maudsley, and that is it. Mm. So I'm going to learn a lot. It's my favourite type of game and favourite time of any game where I'm playing with something new and I feel as if I'm dropped into the deep end, because you learn, your improvement curve is just so steep.
Definitely.
So if I get to face six different armies and hopefully, touch wood, a load of people I haven't played before, because it's quite a good event for that, I should have a really good, I mean, I'm sure I'll have a good weekend anyway, but I'd love to face off against a lot of different armies. And just remember how Warhammer works a bit.
Yeah, I'd like to play six new players.
With your list as well, Byron, you've gone for a Sea Helm, right?
Yep.
Is he going to be the White Lions, or is he?
Yes, probably. I've got the option to mix things up. I mean, I do have Lore of Shadow, which means that I could have people teleporting.
A bit of smoke and mirrors action.
Yeah, if there was any point. I'm not sure if there will be.
Have you got a wizard on foot, or just a lore master?
No, just the lore master.
Because it would have been quite fun to have like a level 2 wizard or something.
Yeah.
Then you go, oh no, I charge you in with those, and then you go, oh yeah, just smoke and mirrors.
Yeah, exactly. I would have quite liked that. That's the choice that I would have gone for if I didn't want my bolt thrower in looking shiny.
Oh, okay,
70 points, and then I could maybe drop an archer or something, and I'm there.
Bound or something, or a scroll.
Yeah,
or something like that.
Exactly. But I'm going with him, and I've only got one wizard, so I've got to learn how to use him well, which should be helpful, sure, as long as I don't put him down the hole.
So with the Sea Helm, then, it's quite an odd, I mean, in my opinion, right, it's quite odd to take a Sea Helm over a noble for the benefit of the reform, because, like, when you're using White Lions anyway, is it more the fact that, I don't know, what I mean, I've not used one, so I know Mikey rates it, but what's your thoughts behind him, and what are you looking to do with that model?
Okay, so, having mentioned Mikey, when I went to have my game against Tom Maudsley, Mikey lives in Manchester as well, so I gave him a lift in. I was talking to him about it, and it was just after I'd submitted my Firestorm list, and he was telling me why he likes a Sea Helm. And one of the key reasons is leaving buildings in funny shapes that he mentioned that I was really interested by. And I want to see if that does anything, and also if the threat of being able to do that does anything. So say I enter a building, I can then leave it in an absolutely massive line if I want to, shoot off a load of magic missiles, get charged by anything, and then be the shape I want.
Yeah, but it's quite limited, isn't it? Because you can only... It's a normal combat reform. So if they've charged, if you're in a big long line and they charge you either end of the line, you just can't, you can't reform, or they charge you on two different sides, you can't actually change.
It's as soon as a unit makes a successful charge and units had done.
They're simultaneous.
Yeah,
it moves in at the same time. So yeah, actually, if you get charged on two sides, you can't reform.
You're just in a funny shape. Yeah. We'll see.
As far as I'm aware, I mean, I might be wrong. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure that's the case. When I was looking at my Malekith list,
yes,
that's ultimately why I decided not to bother, because I just didn't see the point of it.
Because of the stubborn, the points value, and the type of unit it is, I think having one in this situation makes more difference than it would in the archer unit. Well, it was the crossbows that you had, wasn't it? Because their function is to shoot shit or be buffed. And generally speaking, their formation doesn't need to change, I don't think.
But the thing about the reason it's good in archers is because you can be in a long line to shoot three ranks. And talking about Malekith list, you can fight in four and you can go deep. Because they are actually good in combat, because they get to reroll to hit, reroll to wound because of the Malekith thing. So they're a bit more combat that people give them credit for, and that's helped me out in a few games. But yeah, like I said, like White Lion's a bit of an odd one because they're stubborn anyway, so even if you don't have any ranks, you don't really care. But I don't know. I mean, maybe
I think
it's
the stubborn
choice, but I'll be interested to see how you get on with that.
I've taken it entirely because I want to see if it does anything. It could be a load of wasted points.
Well, you don't know unless you try these things out, do you?
However, there could be that term where let's face it, White Lions are White Lions. Your opponents aren't going to have many units that can charge them with impunity. So being charged by two things, you could just not care about the one in your rear. You're stubborn and then reform the end of that combat anyway. But being able to leave, potentially, I know this is very best case scenario, but leave a building in a ridiculous formation, get off a load of key magic missiles against something, kill it, and then only get charged by one thing next turn, reform and just not give a shit could be awesome. You could have gained an extra like 12 inches of movement from that.
What it's good for is if you have got magic missiles in the unit, you can point the unit at what you want to shoot at and like flank on. Like White Lions, obviously they do a lot of damage, but if you're fighting to your flank, you're not doing a lot.
Yeah.
So if you got like, say you got like 3 crushes in the flank, you can take that and then just go, right, we'll reform and I'll be wide and deep and I can put my BSB out of the combat on the corner or whatever because I'm choosing where they go. So I think it is useful. I mean, it's very situational and I think,
it's one of those things where it could make a difference in one game, but is that difference enough to,
or the potential to have it?
I mean, it's like one of those, I wouldn't say it's a fringe choice because it's used quite a bit by High Elf players, but it's like there's a lot of units like that in the game in Warhammer. I mean, even a giant, and then someone will probably laugh at me, but even a giant, it does different things and it can just win games. And it's still really good. I mean, I still think giants have got a place, bizarrely. But you know, I mean, I think there are units like that that people dismiss out hand and actually.
But they do something that nothing else does.
Yeah, exactly. Give them a go. And I've had this discussion before with people when I've been talking about writing lists. Sometimes there's a model in your army that you look at the stats, you look at what it does, you look at the cost, and you think that's overpointed. It's not, you know, there's other things and other books which are better, but it fills a gap in your list in terms of what, it's the only thing in the book that deals with something.
Weight Watch is in the old Wood Elf book.
You've basically got to take it and you've just got to pay above the odds in points because it does something that nothing else in your list does. And it's like, you know, there's a lot to be said for getting a unit on the table and just trying it out. So yeah, I'll be really interested to see how you get on with him. I think he is a solid choice. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
Yeah, for sure. I'm really looking forward to it. Like I tried Fiends for about 4 games before I realised what they were actually for, so it might take a few games with this guy, or there may be some flash of inspiration at some point where accidentally I see something clever with him. That and the Loremaster just means that my list is going to be interesting. I think it's worth injecting stuff into your army that you don't know about and that you know will be interesting, regardless of whether it works well or not. I like learning. That's one of my favourite things about Warhammer, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Keeps it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Well, I think that about wraps it up, doesn't it? It's about
an
hour's worth, a little mini show. I think
Yep.
Yeah, well, you guys are going to do a report, I assume, when you come back.
Yeah, we'll do a proper episode, game by game, how it went, who won, you know.
I'm going to aim for top third, I think.
Oh, you'll be higher than that.
I think you'll come easily top 15.
I'm not sure. Last time I was running a very good list and I didn't manage that. And the time before I came fourth with exactly the same list in a
worse. How many players?
64. Always, yeah. Exactly. So you get a natural winner in theory from 6 games. It's the perfect number for it.
Oh, I see. So that's intentional then, I see.
Yes, it is. They mentioned that a fair bit.
I'd like to finish top 10.
You're not going to make top 5?
I don't know.
You said you were going to win it earlier. Why did you, like, suddenly, top 10, top 10? Didn't you mean number one? Number one.
Yeah.
Okay, so Terry's going to win it, and I'm going to come in top third.
Well, it'll be interesting to hear how you feel the 50% Lords has affected.
Yeah.
Because you've played in it before that, and that's a big change to the meta. So, yeah, it'd be good to hear that and see if that has a knock-on effect.
I'll probably have a good old rant about how stupid it is.
Is the terrain placed, or is it?
It's rolled and scattered.
It's scattered.
Yeah.
So it's like the pinball scatter.
It bounces off edges as well, which is important, isn't it, Terry?
Yes.
You're going to get people putting it in the corner and pinballing it across in the corner. Using other bits to pinball it in a triangle in the corner. I've played enough Warhammer under that old system to know the abuses you can do. So, hopefully. Maybe we can hear a Terry Terrain special.
I don't think it's going to be that sort of event.
No. Well, don't know. It's you
although
never...
I'm there, Mikey's there, so maybe he'll do me again with
you are a gamey bastard, so I reckon it'll be there, mate.
There's nothing gamey about my playstyle.
Is it bring your own terrain, or is it...
No, it's all provided.
All provided.
Okay, so you're not better... That's probably why you're not running Kairos. You can't bring your big, like, 4-inch, like, building platform with a building on it to hide in, right?
I've done away with all that now. New terrain.
Really kidding, dude. cool. Yeah, so that's cool. Yeah, well, hopefully you have a good time and we can get some good feedback from that and see how we went on.
Lovely. Are people going to listen to this before the event happens? We got 2 weekends.
I was thinking release it a few days before, so you're probably, if you're listening to this when it comes out,
they might be on the drive down or something. Cool. All right, then, if you are there and you don't know who me or Terry are, we'll be running our armies. It'll be fairly obvious. I will be very blue, and we'll be high elves. Terry's will be mystery demons we've not seen before, but it'll have 5 play drones, so it'll stand out. Do come and say hello, and
I'll be tell us that we're in our beds. I'll be wearing a face on my t-shirt as well, I think.
Ooh. Yeah. I'll be wearing my face.
Are you going to hammer me? No, we won't hammer your face.
Hopefully not. Cool, yeah, so do you come and say hello, and it'd be nice to have a little chat. Also go to Element Games, because it's at the Northwest Gaming Centre, next to our HQ, and our shop is fucking rammed with everything you need.
It is great. It's like a little treasure trove. You can get lost, and like you're just looking at racks of basically Wargamer crack. So it's a bit, if you imagine a crack den, but rather than like dirty mattresses and used needles,
it's got a Revel contactor.
Revel contactor, resin bases, and boxes of models. So it is awesome. So I mean, it was one of the main reasons I bothered going up to Bjorn, because I like to have a look around and that, and just don't get to see it very often. So
yeah, come up, talk to us about painting, have a look at the store. There is a chance that we're either Terry and I might do something to do with paint in the evening, but that's not confirmed at all, so that will or won't happen, and you'll probably know about it about an hour before it does happen, if it does.
And anyone going that's into their World War II stuff, the staff are really interested in discussing the merits of different millimeter cannons and barrels.
I hate
tanks.
You
so feel free to go up and talk about the shade, the Vallejo model colour shades, and how they're not quite the right shade for. Don't do that.
No, you could do that, or you could take a long, good, hard look at yourself in the mirror and go and snack on a bag of D's.
On that note,
we'll see you next time. Certainly,
bye bye.